Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Live from Sheffield, it's Dig It with Joe Wiley and Zoe Ball. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is so wonderful. Welcome everybody to our first ever live Dig It show.
Just so thrilled that someone turned up, Joe.
Yes.
Hey, Joe.
It's a couple of men in. A
couple of blokes in.
There's some guys, yeah.
Just a couple of blokes. Did you come of your own accord or were you dragged here, gents?
Yeah, that's the answer.
No, he was dragged. Look, this guy, he's definitely dragged.
Oh, brilliant. You'll have a lovely time, I promise. We won't talk about vaginal estrogen, okay? I promise.
We're definitely talking about vaginal estrogen, I'm sorry. Everybody should be talking about it.
See ya. Anyway, fantastic to be here in Sheffield. What a fantastic city. We love it here at the Crucible. Eyes down. So many momentous moments have occurred here, Joe.
I know, it's very special to be here. Sheffield's a wonderful city. I mean, amazing music that's come from Sheffield over the years. Whether it's Arctic Monkeys, Self-Esteem at the moment.
Human League.
Yeah, Heaven 17, Richard Hawley, there are so many coming here. Sheffield Leadmill as well. Has anyone been to Sheffield Leadmill over the past? What an amazing venue, such a great venue.
We've got loads coming up for you. We can't believe it. It's been a year of Dig It. Can you believe it? It's like, woo! So, a huge celebration today. So,
yes.
You've been with us every step of the way. And hopefully you'll be with us to the end of this show. You know where the exits are if there is an emergency. Okay, should we do it then?
Yeah,
what's
I think we should do
up?
This then.
What
right,
we
so
do?
We have, it's not just us on stage, you'll be really delighted to know, but we have company on stage. The brilliant Sarah Pascoe will be here. We chat to her very soon. I know.
She is gorgeous. Obviously, Dig It, we do love our gardening. We love the therapy of it all. We love getting outside. So we've brought one of our favourites with us. Sadly, it's not Monty Don. So I'm sorry, we did ask, he was very busy. But we have the wonderful Gardening with Ish is with us today. He's lovely. He's brought his own wheelbarrow. Can you believe it? He's literally brought his own wheelbarrow. He is going to be trying to convince you and Joe Wiley that hanging baskets are cool.
I mean, I'm not alone here, right? Who doesn't think that baskets are cool, hanging baskets are cool? Anyone else? Yeah, I mean, I go back to the 70s, I think, and like my childhood. Fuchsias, I just think of fuchsias in hanging baskets.
Oh, God. It's,
I am never going to have a hanging
right
basket.
Off in here,
No hanging baskets in my garden. Unless Ish shows us some really cool ones, and maybe.
Also, I'd like to say thank you very much to our sponsors. That's how podcasts work, ladies and gentlemen. The fabulous QVC, who have provided our wonderful set. They provided with our lovely set. And also want to say thanks to Sarah and Audrey, who set it this morning. They had about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and the whole of team of volunteers as well. You've made it look so beautiful. Obviously, the disco ball, Zoe and I bought one each from home.
Because
this is
balls,
what we have, just obviously. Hanging around the kitchen all the time.
Always travel.
And also the plants, which are beautiful. I mean, look how gorgeous they're all the tones kind of go well together. It's Burley Moor Garden Centre. That is not easy to say. I've said it so many different ways in rehearsals. But it's Burley Moor Garden Centre. Thank you.
Moore. Should we do it then?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We've been trying to work out if we have an ant and a deck side. Am I on the right side?
Yeah, I think you're right. I like you there.
You like me there. Yeah. Stay there.
Right by my side, that's where
Stay
I like
there.
You.
Well, it's time to have a little catch-up, Joe. How was your weekend before coming to Sheffield?
Weekend was emotional. I don't know whether anyone here has had the same kind of weekend. I went to Coco's school and they had the end of year production, the theatre production. It was Oliver. I mean, Oliver... It's going to make you cry at any point, isn't it?
But as long as he needs me. I love it.
Where is love?
And that's why she's a DJ, ladies and gentlemen.
Why Why do we sing on this podcast? I have no idea. Anyway, so I went to see this production, and to see, and if you've got kids in your life, whether it's nieces, nephews, your own children, friends, kids, when you see them and you know them when they're like 5, 6, 7 years old, and then you see them at like 16, 17, and they're performing something, whether it's sport or they're on stage, it's so emotional. So as we left, there were just so many parents in tears and all the teachers in tears, and it was really emotional. And then that carried on to yesterday, and we went to look at a course for Coco, who's going to uni in a year's time, and we went to check out a foundation course, and just that whole thing of like, oh my gosh, this is my last one to fly the nest, of course. Again, all the emotions. You could just see all these parents and their kids going, all right, God, this is the next chapter. So it's been an emotional 24 hours, but beautiful. I mean, amazing. It's just that sense of pride, I think, in the young people, seeing all the promise and the excitement that they have ahead of them.
And that's why we love our diggers, because we go through these experiences together, don't we? Them growing up, them leaving the nest, these are the things. You'll feel for me, because while Joe was going through that emotion, I was stuck in the tunnel on a train 5 minutes outside of London. A very hot carriage full of menopausal women. Woo! It's kicked right off. Luckily, lovely Scottish couple next to us found out all about the marriage. He was a third husband.
Oh, nice.
Totally. She said he won't be her last. Woman was an absolute icon. They had champagne. It was all fine.
Nice.
Anyway, I had to go back to London and start again. Eventually made it here. Went to meet everyone for dinner last night. But of course, I forgot at this point, it's 10:30. What did I do? I had an espresso martini. Did I sleep? Did I hell? I was dancing around my hotel room to Frankie Knuckles in my pants till about 2:30 in the morning.
How's your head today?
My head is bad.
Yes.
I am quite sweaty. Anyway, we have not mentioned... Oh, that's just a constant thing, isn't it?
It's really hot in here. It genuinely is hot. Is it hot in here?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That sounds like
not just us.
Cue for a song. But anyway, we've not mentioned the big news of the weekend. Yesterday, Joe Wiley's birthday.
Oh, awesome.
Looking gorgeous.
I'm now at the age where I'm going in reverse, so getting younger every single year.
Yes.
Yeah.
52.
52. 51. How dare you?
I wanted to make you a cake. It would not have survived the hot carriage.
How sweet.
Should we do on screen show? Happy birthday, Joe. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Oh, you're good, aren't you? You are
thank
good.
Thank you so much.
We've
thank
got
you.
You a gift. This is from the Dig It team, because we know how you love these things.
Oh, sick bastards. Well, how do you do this? What the hell? Not one. Look. Oh my God.
Oh, no.
Not one. Two. Two gnomes.
How could we? How could we?
Where am I going to put those?
Away by the end of the show. Well, by the way, I've got to ask. Steve is in the house. Disco Steve. Joe's lovely husband. He got recognised in Cornwall the other day. It was very exciting. He got recognised before Joe.
Yep.
Now, he always buys you great presents. He bought you those pants that keep farts in.
Yeah.
But in case you needed them in the studio when you got to interview big stars and musicians, have you ever used them?
No, I haven't. I literally threw them away. He was like, I've got you like the best present in the world ever. Me in India, how old was she? 30-year-old daughter at the time. The end of Christmas, he was like, I've been saving this all day long. Just come into this room. We went to a room and he went, I've got you these pants. And they were special pants that you can... You know I hate saying the F
you
word.
You can't say the F word.
I hate saying the F word. That
she
you can trump in.
That's the worst word. Sorry.
Anyway, worst present ever.
How did he do with the present yesterday?
Oh, he bought me this lovely necklace. So he did very, very well. Yeah, so really, really lovely necklace.
Well done.
So, yeah, he did. And earrings as well, which are great.
Props to Disco Steve.
Yeah.
He did very well. Yeah. Okie dokie. Now, shall we get to know our audience a little?
I would love to get to know our audience
because
a little bit,
Because the thing is, over the year of doing Dig It, I've known Joe for, what's it, about
13
years? Quite a few years.
Yeah.
But there are things that I've learned about Joe on this podcast with you guys. I have learnt with you some shocking things about Joe Wiley.
It goes both ways, can I just say? It goes both ways. There are some things about Zoe that disgust me that I didn't know before.
I mean, she's open about it.
Seriously.
I disgust myself sometimes, to be honest with you. But we thought we'd put some of these things that have divided us two to you guys and see
if, you know, if it's as divisive in our audience.
This is something we're going to do called Dig It or Dump It. I'd like, can you just all acknowledge how we're both desperately need to wear our glasses right now, but we're so vain, we won't put them on. I'm going to put mine on.
I'm
going to crack
now.
First.
They've got a colour.
Everyone else, feel free, put your glasses on.
I like it.
Oh, we're all in this together.
You're one step ahead of the game.
We can see you now.
There's glasses on, madam. Fantastic, love it. QR code on the screen. If you take a picture of the QR code, you will be able to vote.
So we're going to run through various different topics, and we want you to vote, dig it or dump it. You can use your phone vote by scanning this QR code, which I can see you're all doing at the moment. And the first one, okay, I take offence quite easily, can I just say, so be careful how you vote with this
one. She's very sensitive.
I'm very sensitive. Cottage cheese and pineapple. Cottage cheese and pineapple. Do we dig it or do we dump it? Think carefully before you press the button. Think carefully. All of you, very carefully.
We need some sort of...
How's it going?
Music, it's music. Is it... Have we done it? Is everyone punched it? Are you all right, madam? You're still trying to work the tech. And it
oh, what the hell? What are you?
Goodbye. Cottage cheese with pineapple. It doesn't make. Look at that. That's quite strong.
Oh,
Jo.
No.
Only 38% with you, girl.
God.
Dump.
What's wrong with you?
This is. Dump. Dump. Sorry.
Okay. Mortally offended.
Okay, next up, we have gnomes in your garden. They were allowed at Chelsea this year for the first time. I think it was the king himself.
Not in my garden.
Look at that. There's no hesitation. They have been dumped. 70%.
You are people of taste.
Hands up to anyone who doesn't mind a garden gnome. I don't mind a garden gnome. It's your garden. You have what you like. There we go. What have we got next, Jo?
Okay, so when I'm saying about things that I've learned about Zoe that disgust me, sniffing your partner's armpits. I mean, who in their right mind would enjoy the smell of their partner's armpits?
Okay,
whoever goes around sniffing them?
Can I just put this up? Sir, you look shocked. He was like, I was never sure about her and now I know. You know, my fella, the lodger, he was going to come today, he's painting a wall. Anyway, he's been away for a while and he comes back and here he is and I'm like... In the armpit. Oh, there he is. I think if you start going off the funky
smells... It's obviously
smells,
a new relationship, this, right?
Yeah, we've been
obviously
together
a new relationship.
Will that pass? But I think you love the smells of each other. I'm not talking about bathroom smells necessarily, but just, you know, that lovely smell of a man who's done some DIY.
Is this the vote? Look.
Is this the vote? Am I alone?
Zoe,
am I alone? What?
You freak.
Is there who was on my side? Thank you, madam. And how is your relationship healthy? You're divorced. Okay.
Even Disco Steve, when I said about this, he was like, what?
I'm sorry.
Okay, we have a guest coming up now.
Hilarious. Oh, brilliant. It is guest time, isn't it? We didn't even get to feral weeing, but yeah, we've done enough of that.
No. Let's do this. Show of hands. Feral weeing, for it or against it. Who's for feral weeing?
Yes.
Oh, again.
You just don't know when you get cut short, do you, ladies? When I need to go, I need to go.
Anyway, cross your legs and hold it.
I can't
anymore.
Although
that's not good for you, I know.
Okay, is it time for our first guest?
Yeah, let's bring out our first guest.
It very much is. Our first guest is a brilliant comedian. She's an award-winning writer. She's a podcaster. And she is a brilliant... She's definitely one of the sharpest observers of modern life.
She's written a number of best-selling books. You'll know her from countless TV appearances where she has been hysterical. Stand-up tours, you might have seen her on a stand-up tour, and also panel shows. Undoubtedly, you will have seen her on panel shows. Please give a very warm Dig It welcome to Sarah Pascoe.
Never seen two such glamorous women in a fake garden.
In a fake garden.
You both look so gorgeous.
And you're wearing your lovely cherries as well.
I've dressed as a bush. Just to fit in.
It's perfectly strong knitwear, Sarah. Strong knitwear. Sarah, you are used to a huge crowd on stage. You do stand-up. It's something that I would be terrified, I think, of doing. But, you know, so you have to deal with all sorts. We were quite nervous before coming out.
But I think live radio is scarier. I've had a few conversations recently. Yes, because you guys just have to fill the time all the time. At least we, most of the time, have an idea of what we're going to say. I think they're very similar jobs.
Really?
In that, yeah, that it sort of starts and you think, oh gosh, okay, how am I going to get through this? And then you're just coping with it. And then it's over.
And then it's over.
Yeah, and then it's over.
Which also reminds me of something else that happens. But anyway.
Is this a smutty podcast? I thought we were talking about flowers and stuff.
My father would be furious with me, like Zoe. But you have actually talked about, you know, hecklers.
Yes.
You know, you deal with hecklers, but that can be a fun part of the show.
I think so. I think it's often a door. Like, if that's something that makes you nervous, the idea of someone shouting something out, especially something like this, everyone is here because they adore you. So if they're shouting out, they're trying to help. Even if it's a negative heckle, because really, if someone does shout the worst thing, which is, you know, you're rubbish.
Yeah. You're rubbish.
This is bad. Yeah. There's two situations. Either it is going badly, and you can now address it. Like,
right. Yeah. Okay. Elephant in the room.
Let's work out where we fell out. And what did you want to talk about? Or it's going okay, but that person isn't enjoying it, and the crowd are kind of with you. Yeah. And so it ends up being, can be a lot of fun, and people are very impressed when you deal with it. So I'm not saying, please come to my shows and shout out your rubbish to see what fun ensues, but the thing that you're most scared of actually isn't as scary.
Do you heckle yourself? Are you good Are you good at giving yourself positive?
I think, like most people who do comedy in particular, you've got this sort of mixture of arrogance and insecurity. So we really do think that everyone should be looking at us, and we want to be the centre of attention, but we also hate ourselves. So it's a really fun seesaw. Yes. So yeah, when you sit down to write, that's where you do the heckling. Who cares what you think?
So you heckle yourself.
Your career
literally
is over. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
How did you first get into stand-up? Tell us the story.
Well, stand-up was a kind of an accident because I wanted to be an actor. And how I became an actor or got into performing, when I was 14, my mum went out for the night and a girl from school persuaded me I should have a party. I really wanted to kiss a boy. Any boy. And she said, there'll be loads of boys there, one of them might kiss you. And it was awful, my house got trashed. Furniture, the police got called, someone puked in the rabbit hutch, and the rabbit ate it.
Did the rabbit die?
No, the rabbit didn't die. It did die eventually, this was a long time ago, but the rabbits don't actually live that long. But my punishment, when my mum came home the next morning, you know, there was it's still smoky. We'd stayed up all night, me and my sister, to try and tidy it up. And I really wanted her to hit me, actually, because I felt so guilty. And she didn't. She made me go to a drama club on Wednesdays and Sundays to keep me off the streets.
A punishment.
And I think she now wishes she maybe gave me a slap instead. She's lived
that
to regret it.
That is amazing. God. Talking of your mum, when I was reading all the research notes, I had no idea about your dad. And when I saw who your dad was, I remember him in a band.
Do you?
I am that old. So I think we might have a photograph.
So I've got very young parents, I should say. So my dad was in a pop band in the 70s.
Your dad was in a band called Flintlock.
Yes.
And he was a singer, right?
Yes, he was a singer. He was 17. So it was only a very brief pop career. He didn't want to be famous, my dad. So he left that band. But my mum saw my dad on TV when she was 14. And she was absolutely convinced that she was going to marry him. And then she tracked him down. And she did it. She used to sit outside his house and wait for him. And then she waited until he wasn't in the band anymore. He worked in a shop and he had depression. And she was the only woman still, you know, sitting on his lawn. And that's how I was made. That's how I was made.
Amazing story. What a brilliant story.
But unfortunately, me and my sister, we thought that was how you got a boyfriend. So we used to watch Top of the Pops like it was a delicious menu, like deciding which of the boy bands.
One?
Yeah, which one?
Who were your favourites of the boy bands?
We love Take That. Okay. We love Take That. Yes, absolutely. You have a great demographic.
We do, don't
with
we?
Oh, excellent music taste. So we loved all of Take That equally until Robbie left, because then we were like, he's split off from the pack, he's weaker. He's more vulnerable.
It's easy prey.
Easy prey, yeah. Oh,
wow.
And then we stopped going to school. He presented The Big Breakfast for a week, and Cheryl and I stopped going to school. We started going to Stratford to wait by the canal to scream at Robbie Williams.
That's amazing. Yeah. I was working on the show that week that they were hosting.
Were you? Was
yeah,
it mad?
So I probably saw you. You were
one of the girls.
Those crazy girls
those
at the gate. That
girls.
Was you, future
yes.
you.
Yes.
Now, if you had to choose a member of Take That now, who would it be?
I wouldn't choose,
okay,
because I'm such a loyal fan of theirs. Still, I love what they're all of their career decisions that they've made.
Yeah, brilliant.
I went to a concert last night. I won't say which one.
Was it Harry?
Was it Harry?
But anyway, I just kept telling people, take that, add an elephant. Yeah. Take that, add an elephant. There was a whole human as the tail. Where's the spectacle?
Were you? Hang on. So were you at Harry Styles last night when he cried and his sister came on stage, and she gave that beautiful speech? Did you cry?
I left early because I'm an old woman. Oh. I left early because I hate the packed tubes. On the way there, the Jubilee line, it's like I was trapped in a sauna with teenagers singing Watermelon Sugar. I'm not having that on the way back as well.
So you left early.
I'm that Asian. My husband's birthday present, he really wanted to go. My husband's still in his 30s because I've got a younger husband.
Nice, like mother.
Yeah. And he really wanted to go to Harry Styles. And I said, if it finishes at 10:30, we're leaving at 10:15. And that's exactly what we did. Sorry, Harry. yes, but that was a beautiful moment. And he's worked so hard and he looked tired.
And was it a great show?
He looked tired.
I would say you look like someone, for comics, it's the end of the Edinburgh Fringe. You need a couple of days in bed.
Yes, yeah. To recover.
Yeah, just recover, just have some sleep.
It's funny, when I was leaving, I went to see it and I loved it, and afterwards I was leaving and this woman said, she's about my age, she went, I've been having terrible thoughts about him, it's like, it's terrible. Do you think he looks out and thinks I could have any of these women? I went, no, I think he looks out and goes, I'm going home to Zoe Kravitz,
Also, his whole message is like, be in the moment. He makes everyone in the stadium like take a breath. It feels like so often he's trying to do this in a healthy way. 12 days at Wembley, it's record breaking. He's trying to go, I want to actually be a pop star who enjoys this.
Yeah.
The whole, because it was Pride yesterday. Sorry, I'm going to burst into tears.
It's okay, emotion is welcome.
It was drag queens, it was all of these gay anthems. It was like, everyone should be able to love anyone. Like he and his crowd, young people now are so different to when I was growing up in Essex. There were all these like boys wearing pink cowboy hats, straight boys with their girlfriends wearing pink fluffy cowboy hats. And it's like, people like Harry Styles are amazing. And the fact that those boys can do that now and no one wants to fight them.
Yeah.
Like, things have got so much better.
So important.
That's for Harry Styles.
Yeah.
But he did look tired.
You, later on today, will be doing your podcast live with Carrie-Anne Lloyd, Weirdos Book Club, which is glorious. You do a thing on the show where you ask all your guests who their favourite weirdo in fiction.
Yes, weirdo in literature.
In literature. Mine is Silas Marner. Mrs. Smith, my English teacher, because he's such a weird guy, isn't he? But he just turns it, you get the full great story.
I've never read Silas Marner.
Is it
a book that you'd recommend?
I mean...
Sorry, is this... You're asking to come on my podcast.
You want to be on the show, I am more than happy to discuss any book.
I love this as a prank because Carrie Ad's least favourite book because she had to study it at school was Silas Marner. But if I say to her, do you want the good news or the bad news? We've booked Zoe Ball, but you have to read Silas Marner.
Who is your favourite weirdo from fiction?
I love weirdos in literature. Yeah. I think books make us feel, they make us empathise with other people, but also they make us feel better about ourselves. And I really like Frankenstein. I reread it recently for the podcast, and it's a bit like Alan Partridge. He has sort of no self-awareness, and he doesn't know why people don't like him. And then, and when he's justifying the terrible things he's done, it's always just like, it's a bit like when Alan Partridge has and I had the last laugh, Frankenstein. But also, I like Moonface from The Magic Faraway Tree. So it's between those two.
Sarah, are you going to be touring soon as well?
No, I've just finished.
Okay, just finished. Yeah, brilliant time.
You're like Harry Styles now, you just need a rest.
Yeah, I do.
Looking a bit tired. Sarah, thank you so much.
I deserved that.
That's hard. Thank you. Is it time for a little bit of gardening?
Should we do some gardening?
Is it time?
Do we have gardening fans here? If you're a gardening fan, okay, we're doing the right thing.
Great!
This is fine.
We have a very special guest. He's one of our favourites. He's here with his own wheelbarrow, which I believe is
I can hear the wheels turning right now.
The wheels are turning. Ladies and gentlemen, will you give it up for Gardening with Tish? That's your wheelbarrow.
That is on your mind.
I know. No wheelbarrow. That was false advertising-ish.
Well, truth be told, we did about three or four rehearsals through there, and I kept knocking the set over. So they were like, leave the wheelbarrow at the back.
Jump the wheelbarrow.
Yes.
Okay, so this is hanging baskets then. You're about to prove that hanging baskets can be cool.
Well, I've recently discovered you think the hanging baskets aren't cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, what they make me think of is fuchsias and begonias.
Right.
And
you've got begonias here. Let's just move those out of the way.
Oh, that's a good start. It is a good start.
Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah, what is it? Do you think hanging baskets are cool though?
I think hanging baskets are hard work, which is ironic because I'm showing you this. But what I wanted to try and do here was actually create a hanging basket that is, well, low maintenance. It's not so seasonal that you're changing. Because the problem is you do a hanging basket with begonias, sorry. and then 3 or 4 months later, when it gets to winter, all of a sudden it's kind of a bit meh. So what I've decided to do was create something called the Forever Basket.
Oh, nice.
Where what we can do is plant things up, leave it, and so long as you water it and feed it, you haven't got to muck about all the time and change things up.
You can have a go.
Am I doing this?
You're gloving up.
All right.
I
bought you some,
and I'll do the
gloves as
slight
well.
Blue Peter all over again.
What colour would you like?
I need the big ones. I've got the biggest hands in the world.
I'll tell you what,
everybody.
You're right. I've got massive hands.
I have massive hands. Let's have a look.
I've got what? Hang on.
You haven't got big hands.
I have.
Tiny hands.
What a touching moment. What I always like to do with hanging baskets is I like to fill them up quite generously with compost. I haven't gone as generous because they did warn me not to trash the stage.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
yeah, there's
so
other people in after.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, they can hoover, can't they? But I thought the best way to do it, first of all, is actually just kind of get a few plants. So I've got for like this Carex here, for example, so get a bit of grass there.
I'm just going to copy what you're doing.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, God, let's hope I don't make it rubbish. A little bit of a fir on there and just trying to just effectively place it in at the moment to try and create a little bit of an idea of what it's going to look
you,
like.
Can you overfill a basket, or is it best you underfill?
Oh, no. So you can and you can't. Right. So what I like to do with when it comes to bedding plants, if you want to go for your 1970s vibe with bedding plants, don't overfill it. Have a good gap and then let it start to grow and flourish through. But because these are
like
quite slow-growing varieties...
Not very good assistant.
I'm a really lucky gardener, I'm so sorry. Thank you. I'm going in.
I love it. Oh, you've really gone for it, yeah. Really
well,
oh, it.
Lovely. You love like a hookah, don't you?
I do. No, these red ones and the black ones you can get are really, really beautiful, aren't they? They're so...
I like a little bit of colour mixing in. And it's even like with the fir here, for example, you can add that little bit of height so it doesn't look so boring. But what I'd like to recommend here is I've got some firs. Now, when you think of fir plants, you usually think of things like Landai, and you think, well, this is going to be a giant conifer in about 3 years. But actually, these only grow... So this, for example, Blue Star, only grows about 4 centimetres a year. So it's fantastic. So if it does start getting a little bit long after about 2-3 years, just a little snip, you're back to the beginning. And because it's so slow growing, it doesn't develop a very big root base, so you can get away with planting them up in a hanging basket. You've really gone for it.
What?
I love it.
Joe, you look at what else do you want, love?
Well, I'm wondering whether I need a begonia in my basket.
Ish, by the way, can you tell us, where can everyone find you? Because you've got your own gardening programme. It's on YouTube.
I do. So I have a gardening show called Today in the Garden. The best way to explain it is it's a bit like Gardener's World meets Top Gear together. I was like, what goes right, what goes wrong, as demonstrated here. obviously, this is the right path. But you can find me on social media, not Gardener's World, you won't find me on there.
Not yet.
But if you are watching, so on Instagram, find me as Gardening with Ish, and I do kind of daily garden advice tips. Maybe not live demonstrations in future, but we'll...
No, you've converted me, I think, but I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to
What I like actually about the show is I thought I'll talk about planning and getting this advanced, and you've gone, do you know what, that in there, that in there.
This is
awfully
distracting.
It's trying really hard. Right. Let's have a round of applause to see a show of hands for Ish's basket, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. Let's measure with... And a round of applause for Joe's basket. It's Hayley Herring. She takes the win. And you'll be thrilled to know two of you will be taking those home later. Hope you've not come on the bus.
And replant them yourself, don't worry.
Let's give it up for Gardening with Ish. Ish Kinraid, thank you so much.
Dig It is sponsored by QVC.
As we started planning our very first live show, one of the things we got most excited about was creating a stage that felt like a proper Dig It garden.
Absolutely. We wanted something that was really warm, it was very welcoming and full of inspiration. And that's where my garden escape came in.
It's QVC's online destination dedicated to helping people make the most of their outdoor space.
And what we love is that it's not just about the products, they are important. autumn, but it's also packed with lots of inspiration, some practical ideas and expert advice.
So whether you've got a sprawling garden or just a few pots outside your front door, they've got you covered.
There are planting tips and guidance from QVC's resident gardening experts, all designed to help you get more from whatever outdoor space you have.
And if you're watching our live podcast and spot something on the stage that catches your eye, don't forget you can use the code QDIGIT for £10 off your first order at qvcuk.com.
That's QDIGIT for £10 off your first order at qvcuk.com.
Minimum spend applies, and you'll find full terms and conditions on the QVC website.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Please welcome back Joe Wiley and Zoe Ball.
Did you get a toilet break? Yes, you know, it's wise, isn't it? Too much.
Welcome back. It's so nice to see your faces. And I mean, this is what Digit is all about. I mean, we didn't know what it was in the very beginning, but it's turned out to be just a reflection of what's going on in our lives. When you get to a certain age or a certain time in your life, you know, it's the struggle, the ridiculous stuff that happens in your life. It's the empathy that we all share together. I think we all understand being part of maybe the sandwich generation, maybe that's you. It's like all the craziness that goes on in our lives, and we can laugh about it and we can cry about it, and that's what we do on the podcast. And thank you all for being here today. It's just so lovely to see you in the flesh, and you're so cool. Look at you all. We've been diggers everywhere, and you're always our kind of people. Honestly, it's so lovely to see you.
It's such a lovely thing, wherever you are, in the supermarket, in the queue at the bank, you know, down the garden centre, people go past and go, I'm a digger. It's like a little secret society, and it is a really wonderful thing. It's lovely to be here with all of you diggers.
Yeah, and Digit is always about you lot. It's, you know, we couldn't exist without you and all your stories and the stuff that you tell us, and we're really grateful that you share, like, the madness with us. So that's what we're going to carry on doing today. We've got some lovely volunteers who've been very brave, and they're going to share with us their first... I'm never going to get this right. Worst first, and I haven't even got my glasses on.
Put your glasses
on. Worst first. Who do we have? I think, first of all, we've got Susie, that I can see you standing there.
Hello, Susie.
Hi, Susie. Big round of applause. As we said, very cool people who listen to Digit. Will you share with us where we come from, first of all?
New Zealand.
What?
Why?
We are honoured.
Have you come over the weekend? Or you...
I just thought I'd pop over. No, I always come back for summer to be with my parents and my brother, who was learning difficulties. So that's
No, that's always really important to me to shout
them.
Out.
I know, yeah. I know. So I come back every summer, and I bought the tickets because I listen to your show all the time. And I brought my daughter with me, and then obviously this email comes out about your worst first, and I thought, I have to tell the story.
Yes!
So this story happened 38 years ago when I was 23, and I was going out with this guy called David, and we'd done lots of sort of drinking with colleagues, work colleagues, but this was a date that he wanted to take me on, and it was to the theatre, and it was this theatre.
Oh, how poignant.
Yeah, so we rock on up, and I'm super nervous because it's the first time I spent my, you know, just alone time with him. So we go down to the bar, and as he's getting drinks, I said, look, I'm really sorry, but I just need to excuse myself, and off I went to the bathroom, regrounded myself, came back and saw David talking to a group of people, and I thought, oh no, I've got to start now talking to other people I don't know. This is like really hard. So I thought, come on, big girl pants, you can do this. So I went up behind him and I went, pinched his bottom and went, whoa, I'm back. And he turned round and it wasn't David. Absolutely mortified. So all the people around him were just laughing their heads off, and this guy was like, ooh, and I was like, ooh. So I backed away, and I thought, am I going to find David now? We're in a really busy bar. And so I was scanning, apologising. And there he was, stood at the side of by a wall with the drinks, bent over double, trying
waiting for that, yeah?
Witness, no, slopping over the drinks because he was laughing.
Laughing. Oh.
And he'd witnessed it all, and I thought I'd blown the date completely. But anyway, we didn't. All was well because we'd been married for 38 years. Oh.
You were the woman for him.
That's the girl.
That's what he's like. That's my girl. I love
and
her.
Everyone saw the funny side of it eventually.
That is such
what a great start to a relationship.
Oh,
so good. Thank
and thanks,
you, Susie.
When you've come over here, thanks for coming to see the show. And you're listening all the way in New Zealand. We've got listeners all over the world. It's yeah. It's lovely to feel part of that community. Yep. Thank you, Susie.
Yeah, thank you, Susie.
Is that lovely Beverly?
I am, yeah.
Hello, Beverly. I love that orange top.
Oh, thank you.
Gorgeous. Do people call you Bev most of the time and Beverly when you're naughty?
Either. My dad, when he was cross with me, called me Beverly.
Yes.
He called me Bev most of the time. So.
Excellent. I love it. My dad, when he's cross with me, calls me something else. I won't go into that. What's your worst first?
Oh, so I had a mate who was a free-fall parachute jumper. And he'd be in the pub and he'd be regaling everybody with his stories about he'd done 150 jumps, blah, blah, blah. And all the guys in the pub were going, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. So then I go, well, if you can do it, I'll do it. I was terrified of heights. So I arrive in Lincoln, which is very flat. I was the only one that pitched up. I borrowed Stuart's white parachute jumping suit. We did
good
a
luck.
Day and a half of training, and I subsequently found out the paratroopers take 3 weeks to jump out of a tower, let alone a plane. So I get in the plane, there was no door, hang out with the side. It wasn't a tandem jump, I jumped solo.
But on your own?
On way. On static
line. No!
And I jumped out, and my parachute didn't open.
What?!
So, you know, he's got all these lines down and they were all hooked over the top of the parachute jump. So I'm spinning and I'm falling fast, miles off target. And I landed, do you remember when they used to burn the corn? Yeah. I landed in a field of burning corn.
What?
And I remember thinking, I'm going to get Stuart's white suit. But the big lesson in life was somebody didn't pack my parachute right because the lines have obviously got to be very straight.
Oh, my God.
Mine were all hooked over the top. So big lesson in life, don't trust anybody to look after your life when it's something serious.
That is a great bit of life advice, isn't it?
Everyone has a tale, and everybody has a story.
Yeah. Oh, have I told you about when I jumped out of a plane with Keith Chegwin? Have I told you that story?
Miss Chegwin.
Let me count the times.
I know.
Let
sorry,
just, yeah. One of my
Stop
three
now.
Stories.
Oh. So it has been a year of doing Dig It, and we've had so many stories, like we've just heard from Susie and Beverly, like amazing, ridiculous stories. Favorites? We should discuss some of our favorites.
I think some of our favorites. Well, they've been really moving stories. There was, of course, the kidney transplant story, which was where Lindsay had got in touch, and her incredible sister, Lorna, had donated her kidney for Lindsay's husband. And she told the story about when they'd had the operation and come round the record that was playing.
They were playing McCalmont & Butler, and Yes was the music that they were doing the surgery to him when he came out of it. I played it on my Radio 2 show the next day, I think, after we recorded Dig It. But it was incredibly moving, like selflessness of people. It's just unbelievably
inspiring. And we all cried.
Yeah.
I know, because my kids walk into the pod room that was once a gym, funnily enough, got turned into something else. And they're like, why is there always tissues there? I'm like, because we cry. We cry, we're women, we cry, there's a lot to share.
Yeah,
but that was
a lot from people remembering, like, amazing stories of people losing loved ones and the funerals and the send-offs and the celebrations. And again, we cry.
Yeah, we do.
But
planting
it's important.
Plants for people we've lost
and
them coming into bloom was a really lovely thing that we shared.
But then there was stuff that makes us laugh. So, I don't know where to start. How about Butlins? Should we start at Butlins? And does anyone remember the story about the lady who danced her coil out at Butlins?
Two. Fat Boy Slim.
Fat Boy Slim.
He's very good. He is very good.
I mean, normally they're wedged so hard, they're really hard to get out, but she managed to rave so hard, it flew
Tracy.
Out.
And then the best bit was that then I'm in M&S in the, you know, Peruna section. And I'm like, oh, I quite like that cheesecloth. And this woman says, it's me, Tracy. I danced my coil out. And I'm like, yes! In the middle of M&S, and it was such a lovely moment. And then I met a daughter at Harry Styles. It's like, it's me, Tracy, who danced her coils out, daughter. And it's, yeah, those moments.
That's Brighton for you, right?
That is. It's a lovely place. There was the lovely lady who'd sent her son into school, and then she'd got a message from the teacher that he'd presented her with a very special bracelet, which was, in fact, her husband's cock ring.
I mean, endless sex stories. And we want more of these. So if you're here now, you've got your own sex story, send it to us. We'll talk about it next week on the pod. But there was the charity shop, the really lovely, sweet charity shop where they got nice things in the window. It was really lovely. And then there was a lovely, at the very front on display, so people could walk past the high street and have a look in. There was a lovely sex toy. So secondhand sex toy that you could buy. What was it? It was a vibrator, wasn't it? Inevitably, they're vibrators of some shape.
Lovely lady thought it was a dog toy.
Yes.
It was very, very good. We had Denise, who went for an interview and then had gone to the bathroom and the toilet didn't work and she was left with the big thing in the toilet and she was panicking and she put it into her handbag.
Because what are you going to do in that situation?
That's a normal thing to do. And then she'd had to share a taxi with the woman she'd had an interview with. And on and on and on. That was a classic. That was a classic.
Anyone in this room right now done anything similar to that?
No.
I know you're out there. You're out there.
It's so good. But all those stories, and we thank all our diggers. Even if you use a false name when you get in touch, don't worry. We won't shame you. But do keep sharing with us because these are stories that they make us laugh. And the sad stories, we've talked a lot about grief. Actually, in the merch stand, I had a little moment today because there was the steel pants on, which is what my mum used to say. And it's on a bag. Mum, it's on a bag. She'd love it.
She would be so chuffed, wouldn't she?
She'd be here. She'd be heckling.
Yeah.
She'd be saying, don't believe a word that girl says. but anyway, so keep sharing with us, diggers, because it's a lovely community to be part of. And when we started, we really didn't know what it was going to be, did we?
No, not at all.
Like, what are we doing? What is a podcast?
And I think we just kind of muddle through lives, you know, most of us, and you're in a difficult situation sometimes and you just feel really alone. If anyone's going through the menopause or perimenopause, you can feel very vulnerable, very fragile and particularly isolated. And hopefully the podcast helps people in that situation as well, just to know that there are people out there feeling the same way. We can share advice, you know, just kind of, we go back to the vaginal estrogen again, part two.
We do.
Don't knock it till you try it. but you know, it's just helping each other out, which is what we're here for. And if, you know, with your help, we can all get through this messy stage of our lives together.
I heard this really lovely thing this week. Actually, in Japan, they don't call it perimenopause or menopause. They call this time renewal. It's a word called kaninki. And I was like, isn't that great? Because although it might not feel like renewal, as you're drying out and you're anxious as hell, and you're like, oh, why is my face melting? All these things. Actually, hopefully afterwards, it is renewal, ladies. Is that anyone feeling the renewal yet? Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, madam, you are feeling renewed. Great. It's coming for us.
Someone said to me the other day that they were like, I've never felt better. I'm loving this stage of life. And I honestly looked at you and I was like, really? Soon, I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, it helps to know other people are going through it and getting tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff to navigate our way through is always helpful. And it's not just for women. Like, you know, we have got guys here and there are blokes who are going through partners who are going through this weird stage of life. And also, it's hard for men. Like, as you get older, there's so much to juggle, isn't there?
Yeah.
Whether it's parents or kids and loneliness. And we discuss all that on the podcast. So,
yeah.
Thank you for anybody who's ever got in touch with us. We really appreciate it.
We really love it. Long may it continue. I must thank again The Crucible for hosting us today. Doing an amazing job. Summer holidays here. We were going to come on the goat heads. We were told not to. But also, thank you again to QVC for our wonderful set and sponsoring.
Looks amazing, doesn't it?
They've done a really good job. So thank you to them. Yeah. And also, you heard their voices. Love and respect to Alice Levine, Greg James and Dino, who runs Percy Monica yep. and the whole Percy Monica team, who put on the Crossed Wires Festival, which is such an epic celebration of podcasts. Here in Sheffield, we drop on Mondays and Wednesdays. Thank you to our Dig It team who put the podcast together, who are all here today, and they are such a brilliant team.
An amazing
They're all
team.
Really young as well, and they have to listen to these stories about menopause. We've terrified the life out of all of them. We've not done great digging.
And I haven't got any records.
We haven't got any records with you, Joe, but you're here, Joe Wiley. You are here in the house.
I am here.
What do we love as well as gardening? We love dancing.
Yes, we do.
Joe Wiley of Radio 2 fame and 90s anthems is in the house. Did you see the video at the Isle of Wight Festival? Fabulous Disco Steve bought the decks. He did. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to see you out of your seats, everybody. We're all going to have a dance together.
Are you ready for this?
Hello.
Everybody, I want you out of your seats.
I'm going to be dancing.
I'm going to be sweating.
Right.
Okay, so, are we good to go? Everybody?
Ready?
Everybody ready in the house? Yeah. I want to see
Come
you
on.
Out of
Let's
your
Let's shake it out, ladies.
Here we go.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.